On this great feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe, we pick up in this story of Mary from where we left off on the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, where Mary hears the announcement of the angel Gabriel to her, and we go from there into this next stage of this telling of what Mary does. There's a couple things here just to point out, just for us to be mindful of. Again, we're talking about the fulfillment of prophecy. We're talking about how God is close to those who are poor, those who are close to those who are waiting. So we know at that time that in the culture, if a woman is found pregnant but she is not married, there's a very severe penalty for that. It's the penalty for adultery, which is to be stoned and killed. So in one way we can think about this: why does Mary depart with such haste and to go off away from Nazareth and travel all the way down into the hill country of Judah? Well, perhaps one, because she is afraid, because she's afraid of what will happen to her. We remember that when God says throughout the Old Testament, the Lord is with you, which is what the angel's greeting is to Mary, that there is some sort of great difficulty, some sort of great challenge and trial that lies ahead of that person, that prophet, whoever it is. So Mary hears those words, the Lord is with you. She becomes already a little bit nervous. She's greatly troubled at these words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Well, now she sees, okay, this is how my life is going to change. Maybe I'm going to be outcast from my family. But you know who might understand what's going on here is Elizabeth, because something has happened there in her family too. So she goes off to her cousin in haste to say, okay, well, let me sort of be away for a little while so that I can be safe. And where she chooses to go is also very interesting. Into where her cousin Elizabeth lives in the hill country in Judah. When we think back to King David, when he wants to process the ark into the city of Jerusalem, the ark again is that dwelling place of the presence of the glory of God. And there's very specific rules around the ark and who is able to carry it, who is able to touch it, how they are able to do this. In that procession, while they're trying to bring the ark into Jerusalem, somebody touches the ark incorrectly and is struck dead. And David sees this, and of course everybody sees this, say, okay, well, we got to rethink this and we need to have a little bit of time here. So where does David go with the ark? David goes with the ark up into the hill country around Judah. Because we are reminded here that Mary is the Ark of the New Covenant. There's something that is particularly unique to her. As we said in the psalm, you are the highest honor of our race. There's something very special about Mary. But like we see all throughout history, where is God's love? Where does that lie? It lies for the poor. It lies for the outcast. It lies for those who are rejected, perhaps, by the rest of society. God particularly loves those and cares for those. So Mary herself is a little bit of an outcast here, but then also after she has this exchange with Elizabeth, she goes on to give this great hymn. We heard just the first lines of it at the end of this gospel. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He fills those who are hungry, but the rich he sends away empty. He casts down the mighty from their thrones, but he has lifted up the lowly. Mary sings this song of God's love for the poor. And when we think about how Mary tends to appear to us throughout the centuries following, how does she tend to appear? Who does she tend to appear to? In the places with the rich and the powerful? No. Oftentimes to the poor. This is certainly what happens with Juan Diego, that he's this poor farmer, but she is the one who is chosen to bring this message of God's love, because this is what Mary has experienced. She herself was not wealthy. She herself was not in many ways important in the eyes of the world, but became important, was made important by God, by his love, by his mission. So Mary is this refuge for us when we feel alone, when we feel outcast, when we feel beaten down by the difficulties and the troubles and trials of life, because she understands those things from her own life, but also precisely there, that's where God wants to send his love. sometimes the best way for us to receive love is from the love of a mother. So God sends us his own mother. He sends his own mother to the poor to lift us up, to give us hope, to give us courage, to give us strength. We celebrate this this beautiful feast, and really because of Mary's apparition is really the thing that evangelizes the entirety of the continent of the Americas. Is because of Mary's appearance as one of the people there, as one of the local people, that people begin to say, okay, well, maybe this message is for us too. Maybe it's not just something from the Europeans. Maybe it's not just something from these folks who are coming in and trying to conquer us. Maybe there's something here for this, for us too, in this message. So Mary comes to us to remind us that, yes, there is something for us here in the love of God. There is always something for us in the love of God.